You're desperate. I think that describes some of us. I know I've been there. So we see the men of the ship, even to the point to where they're so desperate, they're ready to jump out. They're ready to go. They're ready. They are literally to the point, we're going to die anyways. We might as well just do it. Just get it over with. Might as well just come to a point to where I'm ending my life. They're desperate. So that's the men of the ship. But I want us also to look at Paul. Paul's also on the ship. Paul, he's got a different approach. He's got a different attitude. He's got a different position of this. I want you to see the first declaration he makes. And Paul stood forth in the midst of them. This is after 3 days of no sun, no light, no stars. He stands up after 3 days, stands forth in the midst of them and says, "Sirs, you should have hearkened unto me and not have loosed from Crete and have gained this harm and loss. And now I exhort you to be of good cheer, for there shall be no loss of any man's life among you, but of the ship." We see his declaration here is like, hey, you should have listened to me, but we can't do anything about that now. What I'm going to tell you is there's going to be no loss of life here. He says, "Sirs, I'm going to exhort you, be of good cheer." Hey, there's nothing to be, there is nothing to be excited about. Remember, they have now lost all hope of being saved. And Paul, what's he doing? He's trying to stand up and give them a word of advice. Trying to minister to them just a little bit. And say, hey, don't worry. Be of good cheer. We're not going to die. Now, I don't know about you, but man, if all of a sudden Paul stood up and said that, I would expect the sun to break. Here it is. The storm's over then. No, we've got 11 more days. 11 more days of storm. I want you to see not only his declaration, but his dependence. That it shall be even as it was told me. In verse number 25, it says, "Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God." I'm here to tell you, why could he have this? Why could he make such a declaration? It was because he knew what his dependence was in. Hey, can I encourage you? There are going to come storms, and your ship is going to begin to rock, and you're going to begin to take on some water, and you're going to be at a point where you're discouraged and depleted and disoriented and disabled, and you are going to be without hope. You can believe God. That no matter what happens, what is Paul telling them? He says, "Sirs, I'm telling you, we shouldn't have left, but I can't do anything about that now. We're in the middle of this bad boy, and God said, I got you." Here it is. We can be like the unsaved, and we can get over here and go, "Oh, we're all going to die." But I want you to notice with Paul, third, his disposition. Was he right? Oh, come on, talk to me. I know the pizza's getting heavy. The crust is starting to expand. All right, I know it. We'll do some head, shoulders, knees, and toes. All right? But here we go, Father Abraham. Get the blood flowing. All right? Yeah, right? No, because you're already doing that. You're already... All right. We might as well make it sing a song. But I want you to notice his disposition. It says in verse number 33, "And while the day was coming on, Paul besought them all that to take meat, saying, This is the 14th day that ye have tarried and continued fasting, having taken nothing. Wherefore I pray you to take some meat, for this is for your health. For there shall not an hair from the head of any of you. Wow. Shall not a hair fall from the head of any of you. I don't even know how that's possible. I take my hand through my hair and I got hair on my hand. Like, what in the world? Like, I just do this right here. I'm telling you, 3 or 4 hairs are falling down and they're on my tie. Right? How in the world are they going through this nonsense of a storm when it is completely disoriented? They are now always blowing them to and fro and everywhere. How's one hair not falling from their head? I know, Cole, you just lost 17 right there. I'll fix myself. Oh, my bad. Is that better? Is that better?
Yeah.
I could care less. But anyways, I'm just losing it anyways. But here it is. It's amazing to me that Paul, what's he doing? What's his disposition? Was he right? He would not be in this storm if it wasn't for them. Think about that.
Yeah. Wow.
If it wasn't for them, I wouldn't be in this situation. That's not what Paul said. Paul's disposition was this. I'm going to minister to you. Because you've got no hope and I've got all the hope in the world. I'm going to give you what I've got. Hey, come on, boys. Let's eat.
Wow.
Team just, they all of a sudden got excited. They're like, let's do it. Here it is. Wow. What an amazing thing here. I see that. But watch this. Verse number 35. And when he had thus spoken, he took bread and gave thanks to God in the presence of them all. Here he is. I want you to see this. I want you to see this. A storm. Write this down. A storm will measure your likeness to Christ. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Paul, all right, that was Jesus. Paul, praying to feed them in the midst of a storm that he would not be in if it weren't for their bad decision. You and I have got to come to a point to where we stop blaming others for the storm we're in, and we start thanking God who is carrying us through in the midst of the storm. It's not, hey, it doesn't matter what somebody else does. You are accountable for how you handle the storm. Hey, listen, you got to understand, there were more than just one person in this storm. As a matter of fact, the Bible tells us that there were 276 men on this boat. 276 men. I want you to notice how Paul, when he ministered to them, listen to me, watch how they responded. Then were they all of good cheer. Verse number 36. Verse number 38. They had eaten enough. Verse number 40. They committed themselves. Here it is, because Paul's getting up and says, sirs, I believe God. I believe God has a plan. God is in control. This did not surprise him. You should have listened to me. But here it is. None of us are going to die. Be of good cheer. Day 14. Hey guys, come on. I mean, y'all been fighting this for quite a while. He's been watching them. I'm sure Paul has been enlisted to do something. I'm sure he's praying. I'm sure he's getting over there by Thaddeus over here. He's getting over there by Thaddeus and saying, hey man, how you doing? We're all going to die. What in the world? Hey, no, we're going to be all right. I believe God. You got to believe God. You get over there by Jonah. Or Jonas. I don't know what it would be. There. But here, hey, how you doing, Jonas?
But oh, we're all going to die.
No, we're not. God said, I believe God. I believe God.
Get over there by Nathaniel.
What's wrong with Nathaniel?
I'm going to miss my wife. I'm going to miss my kids. I just can't believe this.
No, we're not going to die. You're going to be all right. We're going to make it through.
Get over there by Daniel.
That's a good name.
That's a good Bible name, man.
Yeah, strong man.
Yeah, he's there. But we're fine.
Yes. Right?
That's right.
Get here.
Yeah. Get back in my eyeball. Right?
That's right.
And here it is. Hey, Dan, how's it going? I mean, you start to... listen to me. Day
number three, they are faced with immortality.
Yeah.
Like, all right, we are going to die. We are mortal. Hey, I'm not an immortal. They are faced with their humanity. They are faced with the reality that they are going to commit themselves to a watery grave. That's where all of their minds are.
And Paul stands up in the midst and says, hey guys, I believe God.
He says, fellas, we can have peace in the midst of the storm. He said, there's going to come a point where it's going to get worse than it is.
He didn't tell them that. But it does going to get worse. The ship is going to break.
So how do you and I have peace in the midst of the pieces?
Because some are about to go ashore floating on pieces. How do you and I have peace in the midst of the pieces? Number one, remember your purpose. Remember your purpose. Going back to verse number 23.
For there stood this night an angel of God, whose I am. Hey, I want you to notice this. They thought they held him as prisoner. And he said, no. I'm not your prisoner. I'm his prisoner. And whom I serve. Hey, y'all put me on this boat, but my God has a greater purpose for me than you thinking you're going to kill me.
No.
See, what you don't understand is the gospel has got to go to Rome so that it can go west. See, guys, what y'all don't understand is there's going to be a guy in Jackson, Tennessee who's going to need the gospel. And it's going to be me going to Rome that's going to get him there. See, it's got to go to Rome, and then it's got to go up through northwest through Europe, and it's got to get itself to England, and then there's got to have to be somebody that's going to take it into Ireland, and then who's going to take it across the pond to the New World. And his family is going to migrate over there, and then all of a sudden they're going to travel south, and somehow they're going to end up in Arkansas. And then his family's going to move him over to Tennessee. Here it is. Paul knew that I've got a purpose. I can't go out like this. God has told me that I'm going to Rome and that I'm going to stand before Caesar. Paul had a purpose. And in the midst of that storm, God renewed the purpose. He came to him again and said, hey, I know whose you are. And I know who you're serving. And he says, saying, fear not, Paul. Thou must be brought before Caesar. Here it is, Paul. You've got a purpose. You've got to stand before him. And by the way, I'm just going to put this out there. Would the devil have loved for Paul to go down in the middle of that ship, in the middle of that sea? Absolutely. Well, because he's going to stop the gospel moving westward. But God is greater than the storm. And when he is clinging, listen to me, he was not clinging to that ship for his safety. He was clinging to the purpose that God called him to. This is why I do not understand this ideology that says the Holy Spirit doesn't call men. I do not understand it. I'm just telling you, Brother Daniel, there have been days where the ministry has been so hard, the only thing holding me onto it is the fact that God called me. There are going to be dark days, and there are going to be times when the sun is not shining, and the stars are not bright, and the moon is not there, and it is overcast, and I'm tossed to and fro, and he says, remember your purpose. What is your purpose? What's your purpose? Every individual in here has a specific purpose that God desires to do for your heart and for your life. But I'm telling you this right here. Your purpose is to bring honor to God. No matter what the specifics are of that purpose, it is this right here, to bring glory and honor and to let Christ be manifested through your life. And I'm telling you right here, we see it when he went over to those men and said, hey, let's eat. In the midst of a storm, how is it that all those men that were going to die, that were desperate, that were depleted, that were discouraged, that had no hope, how is it that they are now of a good cheer 14 days in? Because a man of God remembered his purpose. God has a purpose for you. God has a plan for you. God has a direction for your life. And yes, it may include a big one from the east. It may be a Eurocladon. Or you may feel like you're a lion. That could be a horse. Clydesdale. But here it is. I do know this. That he was able to stand. And he said, watch this, man, this is so good. God hath given them all. Given thee all them that sell with thee. He wasn't just getting up and claiming that I'm going to make it through because I am his. He gets up and he makes the bold declaration that all 276 of y'all are going to make it with me. Because of that's the God I serve. Number two. We see, number one, we got to remember our purpose. Number two, reclaim the promises. When you're going to be in the midst of the pieces, how can I have peace in the midst of the pieces? I've got to reclaim the promises. Letter A, the promise of presence. The promise of his presence. This night stood by me. Hey, listen, we're talking 14 days. We're talking 14 days of dark, 14 days of no light, 14 days of no hope, 14 days of swirling around in the midst of nonsense, not knowing whether up, down, inside, or out. They are disoriented. And here it is. They may not know where they are, but God knew exactly where Paul was. He was on... Are you ready for this? He was on God's GPS. God knew right where he was. God had his tracker on him. He didn't lose spot of him. He didn't get into one of those no service zones. There was no offline with God. God knew exactly where he was. God knew exactly what he needed. And you and I have got to get back to a point to where we reclaim the presence, the promise of his presence. What's the promise of his presence? I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. I've got you in my hand and no man can pluck you out. And I put my hand in the hand of the Father and I seal you until the day of redemption through the Holy Spirit of God. Hey, what's the promise of his presence? That I will be with you. and I will give you power. I'll give you power to become my son. And I'll be a father to you. I'll be a brother. I'll stick closer than a brother. I'll be a friend that sticks closer than a brother. I'll be the one that you can lean on. I'll be the comforter. I'm going to give you a comforter that will comfort you, and you will never have need of anything else. I just got to be honest with you. The Lord's been doing a work in my heart and in my life. I love my wife and I need my wife. But I'm telling you, there may come a point where the Lord takes her from me and takes her on to glory. I don't know what tomorrow will hold. I don't know what the future holds. But I do know this, that as long as I have Jesus, I can make it through anything. I'm not wishing her away. Don't even go that route. The reality is this, though, that I need God more than I need Tracy. I need to be in His presence. I need to have a relationship with Him. I need Him to be talking to me and I talking to Him so that I know who He is. But I need the world to know that I'm His. And I serve Him. I've got to reclaim the promise of His presence, but I've also got to reclaim the promise of His protection. He tells us that I'll put a hedge about you, and I will protect you. What's He say? Right here in verse number 24, "Fear not, thou must be brought before Caesar." He said, yeah, there's going to be things that are going to try to stop you. Listen, there are going to be people that are going to try to stone you. They're going to try to take you out. Don't worry, I'm going to bring life back to you. There are going to be people that are going to come and try to tear you down. Don't worry, I got your back. I'll defend my own. I'll take care of you. You know one of the saddest verses in Scripture to me? Samson. "I will go out as I did before time." But it was not that the Spirit of the Lord departed from him. Hey, can I tell you this? That you and I will never have to live that verse.
Yeah, it's good.
Wow.
Yeah.
Now, hold on. I want to be real clear on this. You can depart from the Spirit, but the Spirit will never leave
right,
you.
Right.
You can say, "I'm leaving God," and you can go live your own life, and you can go do your own thing, but I'm telling you this right here, the Spirit of God never will leave you. He will always be there, and if you are truly a child of God, He's going to chasten you and try to bring you back to the Father. Mm-hmm. We have the promise of His protection. "I will be with thee." Listen, that right there, I know that's His presence, but that's His protection.
Right.
You're like, well then how is it that these people, these Christians, are being persecuted? I love the story of Obadiah Holmes. He was a Baptist pastor in like Massachusetts, Delaware, somewhere up there in the Northeast. And he refused to take a license to preach. And so he takes him, they find him holding church services in the woods. They bring him to the town square, and his punishment, watch this, in America, his punishment was 50 lashes. Matter of fact, some point this next year, I would like to watch this film as a church. It's called As With Roses. They take him to the town square, they wrap him on that pole, and they give him his 50 lashes. When the
cane, like a sugar cane stick, or you know those bamboo fishing pole things. That's what they're giving him his lashes with. 50 lashes across the back. This is, hey, watch this, hold on. Hey, well, God's not protecting him. This is what's amazing to me. After it gets all done, they help him, they untie him, and they help him, and so they tell him now don't preach anymore. They take him and they get him to, and they start bandaging him up, and this is what he said. They said, so what was it like? He said, my God was so gracious. It was as if I were beat with roses. I cannot explain. Listen to me. I didn't say that he wouldn't go through that. I'm saying that God says, I'll be with you, and I will go with it. I will go through it with you, and I will protect you. I can't explain. I don't know what that means. I can't wait to get to glory and ask him. But I do know this, that I've watched the mighty hand of God protect me several times. Being a dumb teenager. Right, Brother Ray? You're going to go down there, turn down into the road. We're going to turn down that big old stump over there. Telling Ray how to get to our house. I don't know if you were with us in that or not. I think you were. We got to cross that one-lane bridge over there. Because we didn't know the names of roads. It was all landmarks. You had a big old pecan tree over there. You don't even know what a pecan tree looks like. What in the world? As a teenager, we were out goofing off in our neighbors. We lived out on Riverside Drive. This would be the road that my little brother Joshua would be hit on. But we're out here in this little trailer. And the next door neighbor to us had a cow pasture. So we would jump over. We would go mess with the cows. And that was always fun. That's where I learned to love beef. So, but the one day we were over there just being stupid. And the next couple houses down, his name was Brian. And he was actually the quarterback for Southside High School. Had a scholarship to Colorado State. Dude could throw the ball a country mile. It was amazing. We would go out there and play football together. It was awesome. But the one day, they got on their dirt bikes. Brandon and Brian got on their dirt bikes. And they're out running through the pasture. And they decided, we climbed over the fence, and we were out there chasing cows. So they decided to chase us. And so we take off running. And I can't explain, because I don't know what happened. All I know is that I jumped over a fence, my brother jumped the fence, and then Brandon hit the fence. And it's a barbed wire fence. Now when we jumped over, I don't know. All the next thing I know is Brandon's bike comes flying through right by us, and Brandon gets caught. Right there. Brian saw it happen, beelines to the house, calls 911. Here it is. Brandon just about lost his head. And here we are. We're just goofing around, just being stupid. Man, there are so many times God put a hedge of protection. We were throwing rocks one day. That's what you do in Tennessee. And I got hit in the head with a rock. I know. Yeah, right there. No, that's not what happened. Like, I took the hit and I'm like, and I winged it back and I hit this kid in the head right here. And I thought it killed him. I can tell you, he did not die. We weren't allowed to play together for a little while. But the reality is this, God had a hedge of protection around me when I was in my childhood.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that and watch this, and that protection shifted.
Mm-hmm.
That protection shifted when I was in college. I was on a bus route in Gary, Indiana. I didn't know anything. I'm from Jackson, Tennessee. Duh. And here we are. We had some gangs in Tennessee, but it's like, yeah, you sat by my girl in class. You know, like, and we'd fight at the movies or something like that, or parking lots of a mall or something. I'd never seen anything like that in Gary. I remember walking up, and I was, we're canvassing for a bus route. I don't know any better. Four guys in the back of their car. You know, that's bad news if you see that, Brother Daniel. Just a heads up. So I walk up. I'm like, hey, guys, what's going on? And man, as soon as they turned around, man, it was game on. I had just interrupted something that I should not have interrupted. And man, they start coming at me. And I'm like, whoa, whoa, whoa. Hold up. Hold up. Like, because I mean, at this point, it's like, all right, well, if you're going to go out, not with a bang, I mean, you're going to die in Bible college, you might as well just make sure you get one in. I don't know. And here it is. I'll never forget it. So I start stepping back, and then you, I'm like, okay, we're fighting fundamentals. Amen. I'll never forget how God put a hedge on me that day. And listen to me, this is where I learned His protection is real.
Mm-hmm.
And the guy steps out the door, he goes, whoa, stop it, stop it! But hey, hold up! And they turn and look at him, he goes, he's church people, leave him alone.
Whoa.
They're like, oh, you church people? Oh, yeah, I'm church people, what do you think I am? A mafia coming in to take your gear. Right? You're not church people.
Church people!
You know, like, hey. How many of you can do context? I don't know. I just need to go back to the dorm, please.
What's wrong? I don't want to talk about it. I need to go to the dorm now.
Put the window down. And here it is. Listen to me. I learned what it was to God say, I'll protect you.
Yeah.
I've watched God protect my name against false accusation.
I've watched God protect and put a hedge about our church. I've watched God put a hedge of protection around our families. Even recently, people just making phone calls and calling DHS and these things. And watching God clear names.
Amen.
God says, I will protect you. I'll put a hedge about you. You've got to remember my purpose for you. You've got to remember my promises. But then lastly, number three, you must recognize His providence.
You've got to recognize His providence. That God doesn't put you in a situation that He does not want you to be in. Unless you committed sin. Here it is. What did God want to show these 276 people? That I'm God. And I will carry you through. Watch this. Even if it's on pieces. All you've got to hold to is a piece of the ship. I'll carry you through. I've got to recognize His providence in my life. Did it shock God that the Euroclodon or Euroclydon came across here?
No.
Did God know?
Yes.
That it was going to hit their ship? Could God have put that onto another ship? But God chose them. Because he knew he had a servant on board that believed him. I don't know.
I don't know what Paul was thinking up until that meeting with the angel. I know he knew he was God's. I imagine there were some prayers like, God, I can't believe I'm going down in this ship like this. I really thought I was going to get to Rome. I really thought that I was going to stand here. I thought, man, God, I thought you were going to direct us a little bit different. And God says, Paul, I got you. I'm going to send a message for you. You know God wants to give you a message on a weekly basis. You come to church, listen to me, you come to church to hear a message from God.
Had someone come up to me last week. We taught on the facts about failing. Failure is when I completely give up and done. Failing happens to all of us. Had somebody meet me at the door and said, I used that very word of I'm a failure this week. I had no clue. Do you think that God knows what you have need of?
Absolutely.
And do you think that God will give you what he knows you need to hear?
Are you willing to recognize it? Are you willing to acknowledge it? Are you willing to say, God, I know you're in control. I go back to Ray on this. I'm going to go to another one here in just a second. But go back to Ray and their move here. There were some dark days. Weren't there, kiddos? Nixon. That was a good nap. Right? There were some dark days, weren't there? Oh, yeah. Dark days, Brother Ray, weren't there? If we were asked Aunt Bet, there would be, she definitely, I guarantee you, in the time that they, before they moved here, she cried herself to sleep more than she didn't. There were dark days. But then we come to a point to where I acknowledge the providence of God is saying, God, you're going to do something. You're going to carry through. And he answers, 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 and he answers. Same thing with Roger. We just had a conversation three weeks ago. First conversation he and I had before they became members here was downstairs at the end of the table where we sat today, Brother John, Miss Mary Beth. Miss Mary Beth, where you were sitting is where I sat. Where Edie was sitting is where Roger sat. And we had a conversation. And we acknowledged how God was moving and how God was up. And he's like, hey, I need to be able to bring my family. There's been dark days. I'm up to the move, but there have been dark days in the move. We're coming up on 2 years. All right, I think y'all have been here 7 or 8 years. Hey, y'all were coming. I think y'all came. You came and visited with us when we were in the old Ingersoll building. That would have been somewhere between October and December of 2014, I think. No, yeah, 2014, January 2015, somewhere in there. Because then in May, right, April, we started at the Spanish Seventh-day Adventist Church. I think you came, that was April, you came home in May, the end of May of 2015. We were all nervous, weren't we? No, you weren't. You're like, I'm going over. We were, though, we were all praying. And to see what God has done over the last 7 years. Hey, folks, God's providential hand. He's got a plan. He's got his hand on them. And he's directing, and he's moving. And I could go the Wilsons. How God would cross our paths in 2009, 2010. I would be on staff for almost 2 years at Hunt Valley Baptist Church. Here it is. And then all of a sudden, she marries some guy that lives in Decorah, Iowa, from Michigan. And upper peninsula is this stuff. Like,
yeah.
You're going to do your hand thing. You got to contort it. So, but here, how God crossed those paths. Even going back to Becky, right? I mean, we've known each other a really, really, really long time. I'm talking, he was freshman, sophomore in college when we met the first time. That's 27 years ago. And we've known each other a long time. He's got stories about me when I was a teenager coming to Empowered Youth and preaching conferences.
How awesome I was. How amazingly smart and eloquent I was.
Hey, Jeff. That's exactly how he said it too. Jeff. He's like, hey, Jeff.
Every time I saw him.
Hey, Jeff. I'm going to bust you up. But here it is. God's got his providential hand. And isn't it amazing? Isn't it amazing? Even Miss Tina. Mm-hmm. Talking about church and Lisa out in the middle, and Lisa's like, oh, you got to come check this out. And here it is, all of a sudden, that she comes here and then truly gets saved.
Amen.
Watch this. Hold on. I'm trying to connect dots. I want you to see this. How that God brought a family in 2014, 2015, that would affect a family that started coming.
Every year.
2021. The providential hand of God. Mm-hmm. And that who knows how God brought them here. I still crack up at this. Oh, we don't want to go over there. Like, they did not want to visit Glory Baptist Church because of the bad things that were heard about me. That's what Miss Debbie says. Now, I don't know, Brother John, you can testify to that or not. Miss Debbie was like, yeah, we weren't going to come and visit you, but we kept because of all the bad things I heard about you from the folks over at First Baptist. Okay. Yeah, you heard that. That's why you came. And Miss Debbie was like, I guess I got to check them out. Nothing else is working. But here it is. I remember Miss Debbie coming the first time, and then Brother John came. It switched around. But John came, and then the study came on Thursday night or Sunday or something. I can't remember.
You weren't here.
I wasn't here at that one.
Neither one.
On neither one?
Yeah, they're visitors.
Now, I remember the study coming, and I remember John coming. And it was just a real awkward. I remember, all right, so maybe not the first time you came. Maybe it was the second or third or something. We shook hands. It was, like, awkward. But it does. But then we went out to Waukee with donuts. Amen. Amen. And John Dethan and I became friends. Right? Donuts will do it every time.
Amen.
But here, I just to see how God, and they were hurting. They had need. Let's just hold the truth, right? I mean, let's just hold the truth. It's not an easy decision to leave a church, but a necessary decision to leave a church when they're doctrinally in error. And here it is, all these years later, to the point, this is Tracy and I were having a conversation the other day. Like, man, this Lord just needs to move here. And again, it has nothing to do with just, man, we love Miss Laura. She's like a mom. I know she is a mom to you, but she's like a mom to us too. Just because we've been through some things together. When you go through things together, God knits your heart together. And then when you love truth, He knits you even more. And it's just amazing. Even seeing Brother Mike and Miss Kayla, how God orchestrated that. God has His providential hand in all. The Rulies. Just how God,
God orchestrated. And we can go down the line, Cole and Gordon. Cole, we've had some dark days, haven't we, buddy?
Sure.
My favorite. My absolute favorite.
Oh, there's a favorite. Okay.
There is a favorite. Of dark days.
Yeah.
When you were walking back to the door.
Oh, yeah, the coffin.
And we got, I pull up beside him. He's like, I'm just going to walk in front of the car. I'm like, walk it. Get out right now. I will be the one to hit you.
Nice.
I will. Didn't I?
You did.
Get out of the car. I'll be the one to do it. And then I'll take you to the doctor. Break your other leg. What you, what's that?
So that's what happened to your truck.
He was with me when it happened.
No.
We had some cold days, didn't we?
Oh, man.
The window got stuck.
He pulls up, he's just like, it's cold, brother.
Here's a coffee.
Right.
Yes. We can go through, and again, I'm sorry, I know we're just reminiscing now. With the providential. If the Clarks wouldn't be here if it weren't for the nap, who knows coming? The Boovers are here. Annabelle. Annabelle and Brianna were super close friends. Mrs. Boover is really good friends with Mrs. Stratton, who the Meads got to know while they were up in Pine City, Minnesota. They would go, I didn't even know this, they would go up there like vacation with them, like just like girls' night for like 7 days or something. I don't know, so weird. I'm teasing, kind of. But here, then Mackenzie and Brianna start, and God just started, there was a storm. There was a storm. And God's providential hand is in the mix.
Amen.
I want you to notice this. Every single story we have talked about. There's a point for reminiscing. But I want you to know, even Christian getting here. Christians, maybe not so much a storm, but there would be. But here it is, the providential hand of God. Over all the moose, the reefs came here because of the storm. God moved in the midst and said, I've got my providential hand on this storm. There was a need in our lives, wasn't there? I mean, I think we can all point to that. Listen, I needed to be in Des Moines, Iowa. I can't explain it. Outside of God knew that we need to be here, Brother Dustin. That's it. I needed to be here. They needed me. And isn't it amazing how that all through this, the storms of life will come, the Eurocladons or the Euryclides will come in, and all of a sudden we see the providential hand of God moving even in our midst now. How do we have peace in the pieces? Remember your purpose. Reclaim the promises. But recognize the providential hand of God. We can then have peace in the midst of the pieces. Desperate, discouraged, depleted, don't know what to do, disoriented, been there. But do you know every single time I go back to, and I know they're not earth-shattering statements. They're everything we ought to know. We already know. But how reassuring it is when I get reminded of it, of God. God has a purpose for me. He's given me promises, and His providential hand is on me. Can I encourage you to stay under the mighty hand of God? Stay under the mighty hand of God. Let's pray.